Blog Talk Radio.
I know it's been a while since you made me cry. Like another life, it was so long ago. You pushed me down all the time, I thought I'd lose my mind. Life was really hard and you were so unkind.
Everybody, this is Celeste Duckworth with Vertical Live Radio, and today I have a treat for you. And she answered some submission calls that we had for indie music to our radio station that we do play occasionally with some broadcasts. So today I'm happy to have Manoti, and she is just fantastic at everything she does. I mean, she was born in Mumbai, moved to Los Angeles at the age of 19, and she has produced, she released her first album, which was The Fictional Truth, with the first single, Psychologist. You'll have a chance to hear Psychologist sometime during the show. And this song got several thousands of downloads. A graduate of California State University, Northridge, her second album, Secret Garden, in 2013, in spite of not being signed to a label, went viral with over 100,000 views, which is really great because, you know, one of the things that we do at Vertical is we love to promote our indie writers and musicians and artists and filmmakers. And so we have one here today. We're going to talk to you a little bit about her music. We're also going to talk to her about her film company. So today, everyone, I'd like to welcome Manoti to our show. Manoti, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, great. You know what? I'm really excited to have you. although we, you know, we got your submission for music, and as I was doing some research, I'm like, oh, she does a lot of things. So so it's going to be a great, great interview. So I listened to your tracks, and I'm going to be excited to play those when, you know, when we get a chance, especially my favorite is What's Up. Mm-hmm. And so definitely we're going to be playing some of Minotti's tracks throughout the broadcast. Well, one of the things I want to ask you is about your music gift. How were you inspired to start singing?
Well, I come from a very musical family. My dad is actually a doctor, but in his youth he was in a band and he still plays. And so I always grew up to him playing the guitar. And his brothers are also very musically inclined. All my cousins are very musically inclined. So I kind of grew up with this family that was so into music, and they can all play instruments. And I was very influenced by that. And so I started writing songs when I was 11. And it just kind of went from there and, you know, spiraled into this independent music career.
Okay, great, great. So, you know, do you play any instruments?
I do. I play the keyboards and a little bit of guitar.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. And, you know, we're going to go into more about what you do, but tell me some of the challenges you've had with music.
I mean, the biggest challenge has definitely been it's being independent. You know, when you're an independent artist and you're trying to do everything by yourself, it's very challenging because it's very difficult to get people to support that. A lot of people will go out and buy, you know, Adele's new album or Taylor Swift's new album. But when you tell people you have an album and, you know, you're really trying to do something, they're very hesitant to actually go and listen to that because you don't have a label behind you. You don't have all this marketing money behind you. And so I think that's been the biggest challenge, is just getting people more interested in independent music and in my music as well, when I'm not, you know, a huge multi-million dollar artist. And I think a lot of independent musicians face that challenge as well.
You know what, I would agree with you. And on your song Secret Garden, going viral over 100,000 views, what was your marketing strategy on there? Because it wasn't only played on radio stations across the U.S., but also in U.K., Canada, Singapore, and Denmark. So what was your marketing strategy to, you know, to actually get that many views with that song?
So the single from that album, which is So Will You, I made a music video for that single, and that's actually what went viral. And
okay.
The way I did it is I put in, you know, I love TV. I'm somebody who wants to make TV and write TV, and I do that currently as well. And I looked at what was really popular as well online with certain TV shows. And I used references from that and put little Easter eggs in my music video. And then I marketed it to those audiences. So I made a little bit of a contest out of it and said, find these Easter eggs that reference these particular shows. And so people were going to my video and watching it again and again so that they could find all the references. So I basically gave people a reason to watch, you know, here's a fun game, watch my video and find all these references. And I think because of that, it really got a lot of views, especially for an independent artist. It does have a lot of views.
That's actually pretty great marketing strategy. It really is. And you thought of that yourself?
I did. I mean, it was something that I, you know, I wanted to marry my interests, you know. So I said, this is a great way of doing it. And then it was also the way of thinking of, well, I'm not Taylor Swift. I don't have all these fans, you know, after me. So what can I do to bring in people to my music? How can I bring in people in a different way? And it really did work very well.
Okay. And what kind of music do you personally like?
I grew up listening to the Beatles because, you know, my very musical family.
All right.
Playing and singing the Beatles, so I'm a huge Beatles fan. And I listen to everything from the Beatles to, you know, contemporary music, like Adele. And I'm a big fan of bands from all different countries. So I really like the Irish band, The Corrs.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, and then also, you know, a lot of music that everybody listens to now as well, pop music, Adele, Beyonce, et cetera. So kind of everything almost.
So are you always working with your music? Because we're going to get into some of the other things that you do. But, you know, how well does your musical talents align with everything else you do? Are you able to do as much music as you, you know, were before you started, you know, working with Prophecy Girl Films?
I think for me, music was, you know, my first way of starting, and it's something that I've really enjoyed doing. And I definitely would like to have new music in the future. But for right now, as of right now in my life, I am definitely focusing more on writing and my, you know, production company and making films and TV shows and things like that. So it's definitely, I did realize that, you know, something that I can't really do on a parallel basis at the moment.
Right.
But it's all for the best. I mean, I think I have 3 albums out, and that's never going to go away. That music is always going to be out there. But right now I'm definitely more focused on the film and television career.
Now, you also worked as a music licensor and composer on the Prestige Gold Award winning documentary Let Them Eat Cake. What was it like to be on that end of the music?
It was absolutely amazing. I got to do 2 things on that, and one of them is they needed a song that was from a French artist, and so I had to go out there and find that French artist and find that song, and that was really amazing. I ended up finding a great French artist. Her name is Jenny Ryu, and she actually wrote a song for the film, which I got to kind of oversee, which was a really great experience as well. And her writing partner Michael wrote this song for the film, and then I got to kind of bring that song into the film. And then on the composing side, I composed a piece for the film as well, which was an instrumental piece that was used at the end of the film. So it was 2 very different things. One was almost developing a song with another artist, and then the other was just composing an instrumental piece. But it was very educational and a lot of fun.
Well, do you like being an indie, you know, musician? Do you think you would ever think of signing with a, you know, record company, or do you really like just doing it, you know, independently?
I think given the opportunity, I would probably sign, just because being independent is very, very difficult, especially when you're trying to have another career. I think if somebody really wants to be an independent musician, they kind of have to give it 100%, and there can't be another career.
Okay.
And I think people who do that do make it. I think they really do make it because they're giving so much of their time and talent to music. I feel like I do have so much more to give, especially with film and television as well. And I've done music for a long time. So never say never. I definitely think that there's going to be more music in the future. But I think it would have to be a different way.
Well, you know, I think that all creative – you know, individuals do have, I mean, there's never just one talent they have. They always have at least 3 or 4. And
right.
It's really interesting how, you know, how they use those talents. I know I'm a writer. I've written a couple of books, but it wasn't my books that got me out there. It was my poetry, which was kind of interesting. I'm the only person in my family that I'm like, oh, I write poetry. It's like, but everybody in my family are like poets and writers, and, you know, it's really interesting. But it's really interesting. I used to do some painting as well, and my daughter will say, well, Mom, how come you don't paint? And I says, well, it's just kind of weird. Your creativity just kind of shifts and moves, you know. But it's great to have that. You know, I think creative people are very interesting. They're just really interesting individuals. I want to ask you now, I saw that, you're the CEO of Prophecy Girl Films, is that correct?
That's right.
And how did you start Prophecy? Was it something you started before you started writing, or were you already writing?
I was already writing. I actually, my degree is in screenwriting, and I always wanted to work in film and television. Because it's so hard to do that when you haven't grown up here and you don't have those contacts. The best way to do it is to do it yourself. And so that's why I started the company. So that would be a way for me to start this career and then, you know, make those contacts and connections and kind of further myself. So that was how it started.
So when you started the company, was it hard to get, you know, anyone to invest in you, or did you just, you know, do it all on your own when you started it?
I started and still a little bit at the moment as well, I worked on a client basis. So it was a lot of people coming to me who already had investment and finances behind them, and they had an idea, but they weren't a writer. So they didn't know how to develop that idea into a complete script. Or sometimes it was even a film that was complete already, but they didn't know how to get their film out there. And then uh-huh. that's when my company would come in and kind of help them through. So it really works out in the way of, you know, I'm not running to investors for money. It's more that people are coming to me with the ideas and the investments, but they don't quite know how to take it to the next level, and that's where I step in.
Oh, wow. That's actually very interesting the way you did that. So I did read that you like to help young girls with their ideals in film and TV.
Young girls?
Well, teenagers are, that's what I was reading, that you help, that you also have a special thing with helping young people break into the film business. And you know, so this is another reason why Prophecy Girl was created. That's what I was reading that somewhere on one of your sites or whatnot. So, but is it mostly young people or is it just anyone that comes to you?
It's just anyone, and I'm actually not sure where that came from. it's just anyone who really needs the help in, you know, in their creative endeavor. And if it's something that I can come in and help with, then, you know, that's what the company does.
Okay, so you're currently working on adapting Vanta M. Black's book, Oubliette. Did I say
yes.
that right? Okay,
yes,
Oubliette.
That's right.
Okay, A Forgotten Little Place into a television series. Tell me what that's like, adapting a book to a television series.
For me, that's, you know, a dream come true. Television is the medium that I really want to work in, and the book is fantastic. And so when I read the book and I heard from Vanta that she needed somebody to come in and, you know, adapt this book for her, I jumped at the opportunity. I said, hey, I want to do it. And so we started working on that together in terms of a proposal of how I would do that, and we were very much on the same page. So that was absolutely great. And then just kind of taking that material that's already really well written and structuring it for a TV show format is just amazing. I mean, that's something that I absolutely love to do, and I'm really excited to finish the project. It's something that I've just started, so it's going to be a lot of work and a lot of months, but I'm very excited for it.
Well, is it easier to adapt a book to a TV series, or is it easier to adapt a book to a film, or is it the same process?
I think it depends on the book. I mean, some books are films and some books are TV shows. And I think, you know, it's very recognized in the industry now as well. You know, for example, Game of Thrones was a TV show. It would have been uh-huh. tough to have that be a film, you know, and then there are film series that have done really well, like The Hunger Games, that I think is better as a series of films. So it's really
uh-huh.
more what the content of the book is.
Interesting, which, you know, it's really interesting that I'm talking to you about this, because I do have I have a lot of authors that I usually talk to, and I know some authors, and they're always looking for someone to take their books and adapt them into a TV series or a movie, and it's like, okay, well, who does that? So now I know someone that does that.
Send them my way.
For sure. Well, was there any particular event or time that you recognized that filmmaking was, you know, not just a hobby, but that it was just really, what was that determining factor that you said that, you know, this is really what I want to do?
I think for me, I've been one of those people who's known for a very long time what my passions were. And so when I was 11, I knew I wanted to write songs and do music. And then a few years later, when I turned 14, I was avidly watching a lot of film and television. And that's when I started writing my first TV pilot. And it's
uh-huh.
instantly I knew, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to make things that people will enjoy. And so that led me to film school, where I started doing a lot more of that. As well. So I knew very early on that I was going to be in film and television and music as well.
Is there an advantage to going to certain film schools, or is it pretty much the same?
I think that there is an advantage in terms of who you meet and,
uh-huh.
You know, where you are, I think, is crucial. I think you know, a lot of people do want to move to LA to go to film school so that they can be in the film industry. I think that that actually is very crucial, because it's not just the education you get, it is the people you meet. And so I think it is crucial to do that, yeah.
Okay. So now I ask this of all young entrepreneurs because it is, you know, it's something that I think creatives do have issue with. Is it harder for you to, was it harder for you to get started into filmmaking, or was it, or is it harder for you to keep going? And go ahead.
I think both are equally hard.
Okay.
Because when you get started, it's very hard to, you know, get clients or to get interest, and sometimes you don't know what you're doing, and you have all of this stuff to learn that you're learning, and you just feel overwhelmed, and you're like, wow, what is this, you know, what am I getting myself into? But then when you're halfway into it, you're kind of just like, okay, well, it's still hard, because now you have all this experience, but now you have to get to the next level and the next level, and you have to keep moving forward, otherwise you just get stuck, you know, at the level that you are. And I think that it's always hard, unless you, you know, become the head of a big studio and then everything's okay. And I'm sure those people have problems too. But I think it's always hard no matter what. There's always something. And I think the key is to just keep going.
Well, have you ever come across something that, you know, someone submitted and that you just said, no, this is just not going to work, or that you felt that you just didn't want to work on?
Yeah, all the time. That happens very often, and it's always for one of two reasons. One is, it's actually three reasons. One is they have no budget, and they want you to work on it for free, and that's almost like 80% of the time, and so the answer is always no.
Right.
The second way is it's very distasteful or offensive in some way, and I don't want to associate myself or my company with that. And then the third is they'll come in with a project, and then I'll give them feedback and say, well, this is what needs improvement, and this is what I can do, and they won't take it. You know, what they won't want to change anything, or they don't think that their project needs work, and so it's almost like, well, then why have you come to me? So that happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell me, what was an important lesson that you learned or had a positive effect on, you know, on something, a project that you were doing?
Something that I learned from working on a project?
Yes.
I don't know if this is negative or positive, but I did work on a project once where it seemed like everybody really knew what they were doing. And when I actually showed up to set, no one knew what they were doing. And I think that was a big, big lesson for me, because my name is on that project. And to me, it was like, well, just know a little bit more about the people you're working with and the project you're working on before you jump into things. And I think that was a huge lesson for me.
Oh, okay. So now, what do you say the percentages of work that you worked on that actually does get accepted, or is going to be on TV, or what is that percentage?
Almost everything that I have worked on is in some kind of distribution. So it may not be in a theater or on a TV screen, but it's on a distribution site online. For example, there's Pandora, or there's Indie Rain, Netflix, etc. So they're all out there in some way. There are a few that were just pitches. So there were just pitch pilots or pitch videos that are, you know, being pitched to networks and things like that that will not ever air anywhere. Yeah, so there are those kind of things. And then things that I've written on my own are just on spec, which means they're not supposed to air anywhere. They're just samples for people to read and, you know, see if they want to hire me as a writer.
Okay. So now, how many people are on your team, Anati?
Everybody on my team is actually freelance, and they come according to each project. So depending on the project, anywhere from 6 to 8 people.
Okay, and is it better for you to work that way, or do you like it that way, or, you know, what is your preference? Do you have anybody that's permanently on your team?
Well, I do have a couple of people who are always consulting. Okay. So I do, yeah, so there's two people who are always consulting and have been since I started my company. And then okay. everybody else is a specialization. So depending on what my client needs or the project that I'm working on needs, they will come in according to that need.
Do you ever have any problems with individuals that you bring in from freelance, or do you all work really well as a team?
We all work really well as a team. I mean, that's one of the criteria I think about when I'm getting people to work for me. I mean, they have to be people who are not only very, very good at their job, they have to be somebody who's trustworthy and who I trust and who everybody else does as well. And
okay.
so we work really well together, yeah.
What do you think are, you know, what personal attributes do you think make a good filmmaker, and what do you do to foster them?
I think the number one thing is knowing exactly what you want to do. There's a lot of people who, you know, want to do everything. They want to be a director. They want to be a writer. They want to be a producer. They want to be a cinematographer. It's very hard to split focus like that. And I think it's good at the beginning to know everything. But at some point, you know, I think it's important to pick a specialization. So for me, it's I know that ultimately my end goal is I want to write, you know. And yes, a lot of that is development and producing, but I'm not trying to be a director, cinematographer, sound designer, producer, writer, everything at the same time.
Right.
And I see a lot of people make that mistake. I see a lot of people want to do everything, and it's really important to not do that and to have one specialization and one focus and then really give that focus your all because that's what it takes to make it.
Now, I was going to ask you, as a woman in this field, in the entertainment, in the film industry, do you think that as an independent, because I do see more women independent coming, you know, starting to come out, do you think that it's easier as an independent to get into the, you know, film and TV industry? Or do you think that we still have some things to, you know, some things to kind of get over?
I think that anyone as an independent has a harder time. So it's always who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And so if you're independent, it's always harder. But I think what helps as a woman, what really helps is that there are organizations out there that really help you get to know the right people or network. And so I'm actually on the board of directors for the Alliance for Women in Media Southern California. And one of the things we do is foster, you know, networking events and things like that to help women get more jobs in film and television, because there is that statistic, there is that disparity that, you know, women aren't getting those jobs and there's no good reason why. And so there are organizations like that that do help with that. There's Alliance for Women Directors as well, for women who want to be directors and so on and so forth. And so I think we're very blessed to have those resources that are asking those questions and helping, you know, people get jobs in media.
That's fantastic. I really think that's great. What kind of advice would you give somebody that's just starting out or that they have a desire to go into to film?
I would say the key is to learn everything you can and then pick what you want to do and then learn everything you can about that. And when you think you've learned everything you still haven't, keep learning. And take classes and do the networking events and just keep absorbing all the knowledge, because the more you know, not only about the craft, but about the industry, about the people, about the networks, about everything out there that has to do with what you want to do, the more chance you have of getting in. Because the unfortunate truth is this industry isn't just about talent. Yes, you have to have that. But it's also about how much you know about the business and the industry and how you can navigate that. So the more you can learn about that, the better it is.
Great. That's great. Let me ask you a question, because it was kind of my favorite song. Your song, Psychologist, what inspired you to do Psychologist?
It was, it's actually in the beginning of the song, I think the first verse is about I'm walking down the street and I was walking down the street and it was raining, just like in the song. And I was with my cousins, and one of them was a psychology major. And she was, you know, we were walking along, and she was complaining to me about this psychologist that she had to go and meet with and kind of study as part of her paper she was writing. And she just said that this woman was crazy. And she said, I don't know how, but she's a psychologist. She's driving me nuts. And she, you know, started this whole thing. And so that kind of went into her saying, well, I wish I could go to her office and do all these crazy things, you know, just to get back at her. And I just loved that. I thought that was hilarious. And so we were walking home. As soon as I walked home, I picked up my guitar and I started writing that song because I just thought everything she had said was really funny. And that's how psychologists happen. I was 16 when I wrote that song.
So. Oh, you were 16. Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right. And what about Secret Mind? What made you write Secret Mind, or what were you thinking when you wrote that?
Secret Mind was very recent. It was sometime last year that I wrote that song. And that was the background for that song is actually by Eric Spohn, who is also an independent artist, and he does instrumental music. And
okay.
So I had heard this instrumental he did, and I just loved it. And I was like, I want to put lyrics to this. I get a vibe from it. Can I put lyrics to this? You know, can we collaborate on this? And he was like, yeah, sure, do it. And so
okay.
I listened to that, and that's how Secret Mind came about. It just something about the song inspired those lyrics for me.
Well, what are you going to be doing in the future? What are your plans, or what project are you working on in the near future and in the future? What do you want to work on?
I definitely want to be making more of my own films. I have been working a lot for other clients and other people's ideas, and I do want to get back to making some of my own ideas. And then in the meantime, I'm also really excited to continue working on Oubliette. And, you know, developing that into a series. So that's what I'm going to be doing, at least for the next year, is making my own films and adapting that series.
Okay. Well, you know what? It was just, it's going to be really interesting to kind of watch and see what you're doing now that we've been introduced. And definitely, you know, I hope you get a chance to do some more of your music. I really liked it. So, but definitely, you know, I would, you know, love you to know that, you know, anything that you complete, if you'd like to come to Back to Vertical so we can preview for it or any new music, please feel free. I like to always play indie musicians' music on Vertical Radio on any of our programs. So I hope I hear some more from you as well. And definitely, you know, I'm gonna have to put you in our database when people ask me. I'm like, oh, I have the person for you,
absolutely.
Because I know quite a few people. I have done reviews on books, and I've said, you know, this book will actually be a great TV series. I've actually interviewed some authors that are actually in the UK that do have some of their books as TV series. So I would love to see some people here in the U.S. That are great writers do the same thing. So definitely, I'm going to make sure I put that out there on the interview. You know, hey, you know, contact Manati. So,
yeah.
Manati, I have, can you give us some links to where you can be reached if someone wants to reach out to you and talk to you about Prophecy Girl Films?
Sure. So my official website is minotimusic.com. And then you can also reach me, you know, by the contact form through prophecygirlfilms.com, which is the website for my company. And then social media on Instagram and Twitter, I am Minoti Music. And on Facebook as well, same thing.
That's fantastic. So now, do you have any last words for our audience that, you know, you may want to give something inspiring or, you know, anything that you would like to just put out there?
Sure. Follow your heart, follow your dream. Keep listening to Vertical Life Radio, and check out my Facebook page.
Fantastic. Thank you, Manati. Well, everybody, I really appreciate you for listening in, and we're going to be promoting this broadcast so you can learn more about Manati. Definitely go to her website. We will post that for you so you can go to her website and see more of her. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to us today. We appreciate you and have a great day. Manoti, thank you for being on with me today. I really would love to keep you in the loop. I do get a lot of requests basically because of my, you know, what we do at Vertical. So I would love to put that information out there on you. about your Prophecy Girl Films, mm-hmm. and I wish you the best in your endeavors.
Thank you.
Please, yeah, please, most definitely. We're going to have to, you know, I want to see this program that you're working on now, this book. I would love to see when that goes into a television series. So keep me in the loop.
I will, absolutely.
All right, and you have a great day. Thank you so much for taking your time out today. I look forward to, you know, when this program is aired, I'll make sure that you know that and we can promote that as well, okay?
Sounds awesome.
All right, thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you so much.
Yeah.